Okay, well, we're going to sort of start a new process, journey. We've looked at this equipping track that God is giving us an opportunity to grow in our supernatural lifestyle with Him and to have ministry to help us do that. And so we're going to sort of follow a little bit on a journey. Bill Johnson said this: if you live cautiously, your friends will call you wise. You just won't move many mountains. And there's truth in that. You know, what the world would see and what people would see as being wise, actually, God actually calls us to be risk takers, to be pioneers, to be those who press in. So we're going to go on a bit of a wild adventure in faith. And faith is spelt R-I-S-K, because you have to step out in faith, not necessarily knowing everything about where you're going or how to get there, but trusting that God is going to lead so we can follow Him. So we're going to look to follow Him on this journey. Judges 6:12 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior of fearless courage.'" And God says that to each of you today. Because Gideon didn't really feel pretty mighty, didn't feel like a warrior, and he was hiding at the time. But God spoke to him because God was with him. Then he could see himself. His identity was one of being a mighty warrior. That is each of our true identity in relationship with God in that way. But we have to believe it and we have to follow it through. So we're going to go on this journey together. There's two main pathways that we're going to follow. And I'm assuming that no one knows anything. Okay. So we're going to start at the beginning. And so we're just going to do some preparation to begin with. Pathway of relationship, it's going to lead us into a deeper intimacy with God, and a pathway of responsibility, which is going to lead us into greater kingdom rulership and bringing heaven to earth in authority. 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul says this: "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen." So this journey is not about what we physically see, but on what is unseen. This room is filled with unseen things to our natural eyes. Some of those unseen things are just things that we can't see. Can you see the air? No, you can't. You can't see the oxygen and the hydrogen and the carbon dioxide and all the other bits and pieces that are in the air, but it's here. This room is also filled with signals that are being broadcast from somewhere. So there are radio waves, there are television waves, there are all sorts of waves that are in the air, which you can't see or receive until you tune into them. So God is wanting us to tune into that which our natural eyes do not see. And it goes on to say, let me read it again. "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So basically, there is the physical realm that we can all see with our eyes. There is an unseen spiritual realm around us that our natural eyes cannot necessarily see. And then there's the eternal heavenly realms. Now that is actually the real realm, because this physical realm is held together and has been birthed out of the spiritual, because God is a spirit and He birthed the whole of creation from Himself. So everything we see has been spoken into existence by Him. But because He created us to be spirit, we should be able to engage in that realm, because that's our natural home. That's where we came out of, and that's where we're going back to. We're in this place in the middle where both should be operating at the same time, but mostly aren't. So both of these pathways that we're going to follow will engage the unseen spiritual realm around us. So it's really important that we understand how to see. Both pathways will also engage the eternal heavenly realm, because Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if we don't know as it is in heaven, then how are we going to see that outworked on earth? So we're called to engage in that realm. The purpose of these pathways is transformation, both for our own personal lives and that which we have responsibility for, which is the whole of creation. Romans 8:19 says, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God?
We are.
We are. So all of creation is waiting for us to be revealed as sons. True sons, sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. Now we know because of what the enemy did in rebelling against God, it's created a whole dynamic where there is opposition to what God plans, but it was subjected in hope. So there was not a possibility that there wasn't going to be a good solution at the end. So there is hope that creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So there is something that we should be carrying, which is called glory and freedom. And that should bring the whole of creation back into its original intention that God had for it. Verse 22 says, "For we know the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is already seen?" So if all we're looking for is what we've already had, then that's all we'll get. But if we're looking for something different, something that brings things back into what God intended, then things have to be different. We have to look for those things which we can't see with our physical eyes. Verse 25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." So we hope, have an expectation of things which we don't see with our natural eyes. But we can see them with the eyes of our spirit. And when we begin to see what God intends with the eyes of our spirit, then we can have an expectation that those things are going to be manifested around. Now, I could go into the whole explanation of quantum mechanics of how that is true, and what you observe, you bring into reality. Science has just proved what God already did. But we have to see that God wants us to be hoping and expecting for things that come to us through the realm of what we see in the spirit, not just in the natural realm. So we need to be able to see the unseen. And we're going to learn how to see the unseen. And we're going to learn how to manifest the unseen into this physical realm. Because that is what we're called to do as sons of God. There is the revealing, or the revelation of, or the unveiling of the sons of God who are operating in these things. Mark 8:18 says, "Having eyes, do you not see?" Now, we have natural eyes, and all of us can receive information through our natural eyes. But they don't see into the unseen realm. We all have spiritual eyes and ears. The question is, are they open and are they functioning? Because that is going to be determined whether we can see the things God wants us to see and then manifest those things here. So we have natural physical senses, but also our hearts or our souls have senses, and our spirits also have senses, which to engage the physical world, the world of our own consciousness, and the spiritual world. So we're going to learn how to activate all our senses on this journey. Hebrews 5:12 to 14 talks about having our senses trained to discern through practice. Now, that's the level of faith. All of us can engage that by faith because it says we can train our senses. So if we believe it, then we can. If you don't believe it, then you can't. So the word says we can have our senses trained to discern, therefore to see and to perceive and to understand things. Ephesians 1:15 to 18, in that passage it talks about the eyes of your heart or understanding being enlightened or opened. That comes as a gift, that those things can be opened as God gives us the ability to see in that realm. 2 Kings 6:15 to 17, so Elisha was surrounded by an army that came to capture him, kill him probably, and he was not fazed or worried by it because he could see into the unseen realm, and he saw that what was with him was greater than the army that was against him. His servant couldn't see with his natural eyes Or he spiritualized what he was seeing, what Elisha was seeing. So Elisha prayed this, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now, he wasn't physically blind, so he wasn't talking about opening his physical eyes so he could see. He was talking about opening his spiritual eyes. And that what happened, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So he opened his eyes so he could see into an unseen realm and see the spiritual things that were going on there. Now, God wants us to have the same ability to be able to see what is going on in the realm of the spirit around us so that we can interact with it and we can operate through it. In the past, there were three main ways of receiving revelation from God. Face-to-face encounter. So Moses at the burning bush. Or on the mountain, actually met God face to face. So that was one way of receiving from God. Prophets who heard from God and then spoke what they heard. And seers who saw in visions and dreams. So there were generally three ways. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29:29 says, as for the events of King David's reign, from the beginning to the end, they are written in the records of Samuel the seer, who's often called a prophet, but there's a distinguishing here between those who see, the records of Nathan the prophet, and the records of Gad the seer. So there were people who were classed as seers, and there were those who were classed as prophets. 1 Samuel 9:9 says, formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, come, let us go to the seer. For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. So as language progressed, they didn't distinguish between the two types. They just said prophet. But there are two types of ways prophets actually receive revelation from God. The two words in Hebrew for prophet, nabi, is one. The nabi style of prophecy is this spontaneous bubbling up of sudden inspiration to prophesy. So you get a flowing of words that come. The rohe seer, which means seer, is one who receives communications from God more in visions and dreams, just rather than just audible words. And some of those can be open visions, like Daniel, who looked in front of him and saw an open vision when there were also people standing next to him who couldn't see it, but felt it and ran off because they were scared from what they felt. But Daniel looked into what he was seeing. John also did the same. 1 Corinthians 12:7, talking about spiritual gifts, says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So God gives us manifestations of his Spirit and our spirit for everyone's benefit. For to one is given prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits. And those are the two things that related to, in the Old Testament, the Nabi style of prophet and the seer style of prophet. So in this era, if you like, age, we get different gifts to help us to bring the words of God, to hear the words of God and to speak them, and also to be able to see in the realm of the Spirit, to distinguish what's going on and discern what's happening in the spiritual realm. So we can get both of those things. Now, these different gifts function at three levels. They function at the faith level, at the gift level, and the office level. I'm not talking about the typing office, but the actual office of a prophet. Some of those. So we'll look at that in the gift of prophecy. The lowest level is the faith level, where it says you can all prophesy. Everybody in this room can prophesy because God says you can. Now, you may not have a gift, but you can still do it. Because by faith, you receive what God says, and you can all prophesy. The middle level is the gift of prophecy, which some people have, because the Holy Spirit gives them that gift. So they carry a gift which enables them to prophesy. And the highest level, you have the office of a prophet. And as we'll see from the scriptures, that office has a different mantle with it. 1 Corinthians 14:31, you can all prophesy. So how many people can prophesy here? Good. Glad everyone's got their hands up, because all of you can. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. One of the gifts is prophecy. So you can receive that gift. Ephesians 4:11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. So that office of a prophet is given to equip others, to build up what God's church is, to establish what God wants. And so there are three different levels, and you can see that on this sort of triangle. At the bottom of the base of the triangle, everyone can prophesy. That means all of us. Then as you go further up the triangle, you have the gift of prophecy. And then at the top, you have the prophet. So there are less prophets than there are. All can prophesy. But doesn't mean that there aren't some. Now, let's look at the whole thing of discernment and seeing. At the bottom level, you have the faith level. By training, practice, you can learn how to do it. So all of us can do it. All of us can discern if we pray, train, practice, and train our senses to see and discern. So that's open for all of us. The middle level, there's the gift of distinguishing of spirits that God can give as a gift so that you can distinguish and see what's going on in the realm of the spirit. And at the top of the triangle, we find the office of seer, which comes into the same thing as prophet. But remember, there's two types of prophet. So there are two different ways in which a prophet can operate. And some are seers, and some are those who bring prophetic words. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature who have, because of practice, have trained, their senses trained to discern good and evil. So discerning what is going on in the realm of the spirit comes through practice. 1 Corinthians 12, again, verse 7 and 8. The gifts are given, and one of those gifts is distinguished of spirits. And then again in Ephesians 4:11, some are prophets who are given the ability to see. And they bring dreams and visions, and they see things in the realm of the spirit. So often they're called seers. And again, you have the same triangle. Lots, everybody at the bottom can distinguish through training our senses. Some people get the gift of distinguishing of spirits, and some are seers. Now, everybody can ask for those gifts, because it says eagerly desire. So God has given us all the capacity to see physically, spiritually, and heavenly. We're all responsible to develop that capacity, and we're all responsible to use the abilities that God gives for his kingdom and his purposes, not just for our own. And so we're responsible. The question is what we're going to do with that responsibility. Revelation 3:17-18 says, do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? It's a good description of what we're like without God. Actually, it's a good description of some of us, what we're like with God, unfortunately. But this is what it says. I counsel you to buy from me, and this is talking of God talking, that we can come to God if we feel wretched, miserable, poor, blind, or naked. And from him, buy gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So if we're lacking in anything in our lives, in our relationship with God, we can go to him and ask him for it. And one of the things we can ask him is that he would anoint our eyes. And anointing means smearing. So he can anoint our eyes and cover our eyes so that we can see. So if you want to see more, then ask. And who are you going to ask? God. Because once we recognize that we can't see, then it would be stupid to remain blind, wouldn't it? When there's an opportunity for someone, the God, to come and say, I will smear your eyes with the anointing of my spirit and you'll be able to see. Because your eyes will be opened. So we need to pursue that. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed. Now, we often take that as physical blindness, and it was, because Jesus brought physical healing to people who were blind so they could physically see. But actually, it doesn't just mean that. Because actually, when you see the illustrations here, to proclaim freedom from prisoners, was he talking about just people who were in physical prisons? No, he was talking about those who were in captivity or imprisoned by things in their lives that he could set them free from. So he was also talking about here that there can be recovery of sight for those who cannot spiritually see. And it comes through the anointing of the Spirit that can come upon us to enable us to see. And of course, God wants to pour out his Spirit, because it says in Acts, when the Holy Spirit came on all flesh, and it said young men would see dreams, visions, and old men would have dreams, and all those things. Because the Holy Spirit brings with him the capacity for us to see and to hear. 1 John 2:9-11 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Now, is that talking about physical blindness? No. But it's still describing it as darkness. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So there are certain things and attitudes and things that we have in our lives that can stop us seeing. Now, he's not talking about physical sight. He's talking about spiritual sight. So if we're on a journey and we need to know where to go, it's really important that we see. And if you can't see spiritually, you're going to struggle on this journey. Because everything we're doing is about engaging the realm of the Spirit so that we can bring that into manifestation in this realm. So it's really important that we see. So make sure that you're not carrying things towards each other or towards other people negatively. Because those negative things that we may have as attitudes or way in which we speak or act will stop us seeing, and it will be like we're blind, not knowing where to go. And of course, Jesus described the Pharisees like that, because they had a religious spirit that they were blind, leading the blind, and they were going to end up falling in a pit because they couldn't see where to go. So it's really important that we don't allow the religious spirit to stop us seeing. And religious spirits have tried to stop the church seeing and engaging in the realm of the Spirit for 2,000 years, right from very early on, wanting to hinder and stop us having the full capacity that we should have as sons of God. So 1 Corinthians 12:31, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So desire those gifts which can enable you to see and to hear and to discern that which is going on in the realm of the Spirit. Now, spiritual gifts can be imparted. You can receive a transfer of the ability to see, because one of the gifts is distinguishing of spirits. And one of the ways in which the gifts of the Spirit are received is that people lay hands on people and transfer that gift. That gets transferred sometimes from God through a person, but often it can also be a transference of what the person has. But you can only receive a seed, and you're responsible to cultivate it. See, a lot of people believe if a great prophet lays hands on them, they will have exactly the same level of gift as the person who's laid hands on them. But it never works, because there's a cost that's associated with that person's anointing and gift that cannot be transmitted. But what can be received is a seed. So you can receive a seed of someone else's anointing or gift that, if you cultivate it in your own heart, can become a full-grown plant. So you can therefore become. Now, that means we have to take responsibility for cultivating it. Impartation, what I mean by impartation, is me giving you something that I have, so you will have some of it as well, is foundational. Hebrews 6:1-2, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrines about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of, and there's a whole list of them, and one of them is laying on of hands. So laying on of hands and impartation is a foundation of the Christian faith. Now, over the last few years, we've not done as much laying of hands of people because we wanted to encourage people to practice training their own senses. But if we're going on this journey, then I feel responsible to pass on anything that I've got as a seed that you then can take and cultivate on this journey. Because that's what impartation is. Impartation is intentional. Romans 1:11, Paul talking, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. So Paul desired to impart a spiritual gift to people to establish them and encourage them and equip them. So we can intentionally impart. We intentionally give what we have as the Holy Spirit directs. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you've received, freely give. Acts 3:6, what I have, I give to you. And in that instance, it was healing and health. Because he was talking about the guy who was sitting begging. But he gave him something that he had, and then he was healed. Examples of impartation, Joshua and Moses. Deuteronomy 34:9, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. How? For Moses had laid his hands on him. So the wisdom that Moses had, because he had face-to-face encounters with God, was imparted to Joshua, who, not surprisingly, also had face-to-face encounters with God, daily in his presence. Moses and the elders, Numbers 11, 24-25, and the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, Moses, and took of the spirit that was upon him, Moses, and placed the same on the elders. And it happened, and when the spirit rested on them, that they prophesied. So God did that. Moses didn't lay hands on them, but God took what was on Moses and put it on somebody else. And those 70 were able to engage in heaven, if you read the story, and they ate with God in heaven, which is pretty amazing. Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings 2:9. And so it was when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I'm taking away from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, there's a lot of things on double portions and praying for double portions and that stuff. You know, if you want a double portion of the anointing, then you have to have a double portion of the responsibility that goes with it. And so don't ask for that if you're not willing to carry the responsibility that it has. And only God can do it. I cannot give you a double portion because I haven't got a double portion to give you. I've only got my portion. So only God can multiply it. But he can do so. And when you look at the life of Elisha, he actually did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Because his hunger to pursue, and the only way he could receive the double portion was he had to be there when Elijah was taken up into heaven. And if you remember, his mantle came down and he was able to put it on because he was there pursuing, eagerly waiting for that time. So there's a cost in pursuing. Paul and Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. So elders can lay hands on people and gifts can be imparted and they can prophesy gifts. See, I can lay hands on you and impart something I have, but I can't impart to you something I don't have. But I can prophesy and call it forth. So even sometimes if people are hungry, someone can prophesy over them and call forth to release that which God wants to give them. 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Paul laid his hands on Timothy and he had a gift from God that was in him as a result. But it was his responsibility to stir it up, to maintain and keep using it so that it would be growing. Now, impartation is variable. When I get to pray for those who are hungry and lay hands on them, what you will receive from me will be determined by what the state of your own heart is. Not everyone receives the same level of anointing in impartation. God knows for a start what you need and what you can handle. K. character must go with gifting. And that takes perseverance and growth. You don't get an impartation of character. Character comes from being the same over and over and over again, consistent, which is our responsibility. Impartation is a seed and not a full-grown plant. Seeds need good soil, water and light. And you can use that illustration. See, the soil of your heart, the water of the Spirit, and the light of God's presence will help that seed to grow. Soil is about the condition of our hearts. And in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, it talks about four different sorts of soil. Hard, stony, weedy, and good soil. Now, you're responsible for your soil, the state of your own heart, which will be what determines really whether whatever seed you're given grows. Because what happens if you have a hard heart? The enemy comes and snatches away the seed before it gets a chance to grow. Why? Because you don't believe, because you're in unbelief. Lots of different reasons, but generally it's because of lack of faith. Weedy, stony, there may be things, memories of the past, which will hinder that seed growing in you. You may have cares of the world that are anxiousness and worrying, which of course God says don't do that. If you seek first the kingdom and my righteousness, then everything will be added. Although people can pray and release an impartation, how it's received will be determined by your own hearts. Now the difference really is about what it is that you're going to receive. And I think some of it comes in terms of hunger. Those who have the most powerful impartations, and I can remember in my own life, having the most powerful impartations from other people when I've been hungry, when I've pursued, when I've traveled and gone somewhere to receive it, because I desperately wanted something. And so I've received impartations. Sometimes I've gone to places with an expectation of one thing and God's done something unexpected. But because I was willing to go to receive, God gave me even more than what I was actually thinking of. So be hungry, be eager, and be willing to persevere to receive. Now you can only impart what you possess. You know, as I said, transference of the anointing through laying on of hands is for everybody. It's for all Christians, both to receive and to give. But you can only give what you've already received. So I encourage you to be hungry for the things of God so that you can impart and give those to others. So I can transfer a seed of what I have. I can also prophesy and call it forth, even if I don't have it. But such as I have, I want to give to you today. So I'm willing to lay hands on those of you who are hungry today and impart a seed of being able to see in the realm of the Spirit, because I can see in the realm of the Spirit. So impartation can occur through touching physical objects. So me touching you, or you even touching me in faith, can actually draw something. And we get that. Matthew 9:20, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak and was immediately healed. And he knew it. And there was a whole crowd of people gathered pressing around, almost crushing him. And yet he knew the one person who came in faith who was touching him for a purpose. So if you want to receive something, you've got to come in expectation, in faith, to receive it. Matthew 14:5. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent a word into all the surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they implored him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were cured. Because they came expectant and hungry, and they were healed. Acts 19:11. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so the handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out. So impartation can come in those different ways. So I want to encourage you, if you want to receive an impartation today, if you want to receive what I can give, then be hungry. And I want to just encourage you just to speak this out if you want to receive something today as a faith statement before I pray for people. Okay? So let's speak this out together if you want an impartation. It says, I receive an impartation right now from the Holy Spirit for an increase in the gifts of distinguishing of spirits and prophecy. I receive anointing of eye salve from God for my eyes to see. I receive an impartation for the eyes of my heart to be opened and enlightened. I receive an impartation for my spiritual eyes to be opened for greater vision in the spirit realm. Okay, so in faith you've declared that, and therefore God can receive release that to you. So I can see as a seer in the unseen realms of the spirit and in the heavenly realms, but there is a cost. It's taken me a lot of years to be able to do that and a lot of practice over the last 3 or 4 years to be able to hone that. So I can lay hands on you today and I can impart and transfer some of that supernatural ability. How much of it you receive will be determined by faith level and the desire of your own hearts and the state of your hearts. So are you hungry? Are you willing to cultivate that seed once it's imparted? I want to pray for anybody who would like to receive that. I know Alice also has a word about praying in this thing. Do you want to come and share that?
Just really quickly, I was taken to Satan's trophy room the other day. And the thing about that is that Satan takes things from us. He takes things from us personally. He takes things from us from our generations. He takes things from the church and he stores them all up in this room. And so I saw what I wanted to take, but I couldn't actually take it until I'd broken the enemy's right to hold on to it. So I did that. I'm not going to go into details on how you do that. But so I then went back, and what I saw was this shelf full of these glass vials that were filled with see-through oil that was just like white light. And written on these vials was the light of God's glory. So I was sort of in this journey that I was on, I was thinking about somebody that I relate to through the Livebuster group. And so I just, in the spirit, I poured it out onto her. And it was like an explosion went off inside of her. It soaked through her head and then it just went pow! And like light just burst out of her. And it removed the scales from her eyes and it removed blockages from her ears. And it's like every single part of her, all of her senses were just, light was flooding out of her. And so I'd quite like to give those away as well this morning.
Okay. So that means that you can receive an impartation and also receive anointing to release the blockages that would hinder that impartation being used. That's a good deal. You get two for the price of one, which is good. So if any of you want to come, just come. And we're just going to pray, and I'll just pray over you, and Alice will pray over you. As we engage in worship, as we open up our hearts, worship is a really good medium because God comes and inhabits our praises. He comes and meets with us. So I encourage you, just begin by faith to exercise that which you've received as a seed and begin to look with the eyes of your heart. You may receive pictures or things within your imagination that would open up the realms of heaven to you, or what's going on in the angelic realm around you. You may want to step and look into the realms of heaven as that is opened up over us today. Just exercise that. Just begin by faith to look with the eyes of your heart and the eyes of your spirit rather than your natural eyes. Sometimes that helps to close your natural eyes, so that your brain can engage in the flow of revelation that comes from your spirit and your heart. But I just encourage you today just to receive that and to practice it and go from there each day, just opening up your eyes to see that which is around you.